The following podcast of The Bench is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right. Deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code BENCH101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com. Use promo code BENCH101.
For all on a go status,
ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
That's my favorite. When we're presented by Coors Light. I like diamonds too, though.
Long throw in time.
Here's your diamond play of the week. Presented by Robbins Brothers, the engagement ring store.
Watch it, zero. That's the extra point.
You get this off with a two-minute warning. A little surprise. Foles back, throws. Intercepted! Went right through Jeffrey's hands! It's Lattimore!
Jeffrey's hands and Lattimore's second pick of the game, and the Saints looking to move on.
This diamond play of the week is presented by Robbins Brothers, the engagement ring store, West Loop South and Clear Lake.
What a play.
If you rank all the teams, I would say this, agree the Saints look the worst of all the winners.
Yeah, that's obviously fair.
The Rams would be second. Who looked better, the Chiefs or the Patriots?
And I didn't think the Rams looked bad.
No, but they didn't look as good as the Patriots or the Chiefs.
I mean, they just don't have enough offensive juice with Dak. Amari had a, you know, they got the early touchdown, but other than that, Zeke had some moments, but I don't know. I would say the Patriots. I think the Chiefs look the best.
Chiefs look the best? Yeah. Although the Patriots look pretty freaking dominant.
They did. They both did.
Yeah.
I just trust the team that's done it the whole year.
Yeah, I trust Tom Brady. It's so funny, though. I mean, it's just never going to end. It's just never. And anybody who underestimates.
Miserably.
Did you hear him after the game?
Yeah, everyone thinks we suck.
Everybody thinks we suck.
He's put his chip on his shoulder that he's going to feast off of. He's going to nurture that little nasty little festering wound that he's created for himself.
And you know he's like, okay, everybody loves Pat Mahomes. Let's watch. Everybody loves Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, you know that's what he's doing in his head.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Is that what you think? It's that kind of thing. It's like De Niro and Goodfellas before Billy Bats is about to kick. Okay. There's only one Irishman here. Nah. No, there's not. I don't need your drinks. Okay. And when you realize, something bad's about to happen.
Yep.
I feel like that's what's going to happen with Tom Brady. Please don't make us watch the Patriots again in the Super Bowl. Baby Jesus of football, please, with everything. I swear I'm going to pray on this today. please. Please let Tom Brady not go to another Super Bowl. I can't do Patriot fan anymore. We can't have that. I don't want a Tom Brady. I don't want to see Gronk on a bus trying to pull his wang out and put it on a football or something. I don't need on a party bus after a Super Bowl. I don't want any of this stuff anymore. Please make it stop.
And how much will Atlanta hate having Tom Brady there?
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Oh, anymore. My God. How much will they just hate it that Tom Brady is there?
What if Bill Belichick, what if they win? And after the Super Bowl, they interview him. He's like,
shout out Kyle Shanahan for helping make this possible. Another ring.
20. I just wanted to say 28-3. That's all. I just wanted to say. That's all I want to say.
Let's get to Kyler Murray for a second. The Kyler Murray story. So Kyler Murray is getting a $4.66 million signing bonus, right? That's good. Right?
Yeah.
That's a good signing bonus for baseball.
Number 9 overall pick, right.
Yeah, and then he's got to go to play minor league baseball. And all along that was going to be the plan. And then Kyler ended up out of nowhere having a great season. Here's what his background had been. Come in for a couple of packaged plays during the Baker Mayfield era. Oh, that little guy sure can run. He's a cute little running back. Look at him go. Like, he's a running quarterback. And then at Texas A&M, I was like, ooh, this game looks too big for Kyler Murray. How is he a five-star? How is he the best quarterback in Texas high school history? And so then this year pops up, and he's an afterthought. Just like, well, he's got Hollywood Brown, Dede Lamb. He'll probably do okay. Rodney Anderson coming back, and, Rodney gets hurt. Well, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I just won the Heisman. And so the riding on buses and making $4.6 million signing bonus doesn't seem as cool as what the football money could end up being for him. However, he is under contract. However, isn't this interesting, John? They are meeting with the A's, and now Scott Boras has all this additional leverage because of all this talk about the NFL and entering the draft. And now it's possible that Kyler Murray could get as much as $15 million guaranteed from the Oakland A's because they could end up putting him on the 40-man roster and then having him go to the minor leagues.
Okay, let's say Kyler Murray is the 12th pick. I don't know. Maybe.
Are you talking football?
Football.
Okay.
What's the guaranteed money there?
Oh, let me look. I'll have to look at that.
What did Deshaun get?
Not that much.
Right? No.
Let me look at Deshaun.
You're slotted, right?
Yes.
Wait a minute, we just lost Lance.
No, I'm here.
No, you're typing. Here, but you're sound.
Just typing.
There you go.
Yeah, I just had to type. Deshaun Watson spot track.
Don't type on your
What's a handheld? It's a handheld. I had to put it down for a second. All right, so no, Deshaun Watson.
You don't put it down.
Yeah, it's no big deal. It's all right.
Yes, it is.
No, it's all right. It's all right. It's okay.
No, it's really not.
So Deshaun got an $8 million signing bonus, 8.2. So 8.2 was guaranteed, and if you basically include so the first 3 years of Deshaun's contract, he's going to make, let's see, 3.1, 3.2, 3.6, and 8, about $12 million for the first 3 years.
Yeah.
And if you get to the fourth year, it's about 15, it's about the same.
It's close.
No, total cash, 13.792.
His fifth year will be almost $14 million.
Who, Deshaun? Not.
Yeah.
I'm only showing 4 years. Yeah. Right.
Because that fifth year they've got to
$13 million in the last year.
Right. And he'll get that. So he'll get 13.7. So 13.8 in that last year for the fifth year.
It's about $15 million for 4 years. Let's say Kyler Murray stunk and they didn't pick up the option, but they did go 4 years with him, he'd make about $15 million.
Yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood. Does that even need to be more? I mean, here's the deal: is what does he love?
I feel like he loves football.
I feel like he loves football too. I mean, we don't know, but it just looks like he had so much fun.
Let's be honest. What does he have the best chance at succeeding in? I've never watched him play one single inning of baseball. And I already know, minor league, first rounders, First rounders have a much better chance of making it in the NFL, I think, than baseball. I feel like I'm just saying that, but it feels accurate. I have no data at all to prove that, but I feel like that's accurate.
We never need any data or accuracy here.
Ask Mary. If Mary's there, ask her.
It's not Mary today.
Okay.
Raheel says Kyler loves money. That's what he loves.
It's $15 million either way.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah, what does he want to play more? What does he have more fun doing? What is he more passionate about?
Okay, but if Kyler Murray goes in the second round, if teams look at him and go, ooh, 5'6", 150, that's not what we want at quarterback. We're not drafting him in the first round. That's a big difference in money, John. That's a huge difference.
Except I saw him with my human eyes, and right. I was somebody that said there's absolutely no chance he can make it in college football, and he wins the Heisman. So he can.
Lots of Heisman Trophy winners have not done anything.
You're right. And lots of 5'6" quarterbacks have not ever done anything in the NFL. Ever.
But if he doesn't get drafted where Deshaun does, he's going to get less than that baseball money potentially. You think Scott Boras has been on board with this thing the whole time so he could leverage? It's not like Scott Boras doesn't know all of the angles. Do you think he's been on board with this and, hey, let's leak the football thing? Because here's what they could do. Here's what they could do, John, and this would make even more sense. Kyler Murray ends up on the 40-man roster for the Oakland A's, goes to minor league baseball, gets more money up front, and then takes off to football after 2 years after getting some of that baseball money and then dips into the football money.
Let me ask you this. Where would you slot Kyler Murray right now in the quarterbacks?
Without having studied him, I would say I don't feel like Stidham's going to be inside the top three, and I still have to look at him. So I've got it. I've got Daniel Jones third. I've got Locke second. I have second-round grades on both guys. I'd probably put Kyler Murray second behind Haskins.
And to say that you take
Daniel Jones is not anything special. If he ends up in the first round,
it's just because of need. It's solely on need.
And Drew Locke has all the physical components, but he hasn't put it all together. So I would say Kyler Murray probably second. This is not a great draft year of all the talent. I don't have a 7.0 grade on anybody. That includes Quinnen Williams. So up to this point, I don't think it's a huge, great draft. Kyler Murray would go in the first round, I think. Even
he'd be
with
a first round.
Size.
I think yep, he'd probably go somewhere around there. All right, 713-780. We got people that want to get in here, and we'll get them in next right here on ESPN 97.5. We'll take your call, 713-780-3776. Whoever just hung up, we'll get you in here on the other side. So you can call back in when we come back. But how about Friday? I got Kings twice, Lance. But both times I catch Kings, the guy across from me in the first seat catches aces, and I lose everything with Kings again. By the same guy cracks my Kings with aces, pocket aces. Unbelievable.
Not twice.
Twice. Same guy. Twice. I got pocket Kings. He's got pocket aces. Twice.
So you're saying the name Granado was trash at the tournament then on Friday?
No. What? JT. And here's something for all of you. JT's been playing for less than a year. He was chip leader when they chopped. He was chip leader on Friday when they chopped. Took back a nice little $1,700 for college. How's that?
One of our listeners came out to one of the first tournaments that we played when we broadcast out there. He said, hey, I want to come out here and play. I'll play in the neighborhood. And that guy ended up being chip leader when they chopped, too. He ended up making $1,500 that day.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to be – listen, you don't have to have played in Vegas at the World Series of Poker or be some kind of shark. Not at all. Now, if you're a really skilled, talented guy, you might want to go get in some of the cash games, even though I find that you don't have to be all that skilled to win in cash games either a lot of times. Sometimes just the ones who take the biggest chances. But I can tell you this, tournament play – hey, that's wide open, and you can get out there and win money just like JT in a tournament game. All you have to do is get out to Prime Social at 7801 Westheimer. It's an easy trip. It's between Fondren and Dunvale, big standalone building with valet parking, a great menu, a great staff. And, John, as you know, they're always going to make sure to make it a fun, safe experience for you, a beautiful location with TVs all around the place. So you're never going to miss a game.
Yeah, no, it's by far, it's the premier place. It's not even close. It's prime. It's right there at Westheimer, just west of Voss on Stony Brook, the first light west of Voss. I'm telling you, beautiful standalone facility. It was a restaurant. It's just gorgeous, just unbelievable. And my wife went there and she was like, this place is really nice. I'll come meet you here. She thought it was going to be dark and dank, and it's beautiful. It's Prime Social. Prime Social TX. They got the 25th anniversary is coming up in 2 weeks on the 25th. And then if you play in cash games now, you could be eligible. Top 80 that play in cash games, free roll for $20,000 on February 9th. Get there. PrimeSocialTX.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Yo, I go by the name of Dane Jones. I'm with my crew, and we gonna show y'all what we be snacking on. You dig?
Okay.
Hot Cheetos and Takis.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 703-780-3776. Meanie wants to get in here. Talk about some football and some Rockets. What's up, Meanie?
What the hell did they type? They didn't type Manny.
Oh.
Meanie. That's right. Meanie. He is a meanie. He's a meanie to Daryl Morey.
Why are you
saying? Hey, Lance, listen. Daryl Morey deserves GM of the Year because he, like me, was intelligent enough to give Capella the money he gave him. And it's making him look like a genius. Now, we'll just forget about all the guys he brought in the offseason who are now the 10th, 11th, and 12th guys on the bench and can't see any playing time, meaningful minutes, because, well, they're trash. But anyway, that's besides the point. Hey, how refreshing was it to see NFL football teams understanding football situations and going for it? How many of those situations ended up in touchdowns? I mean, it seemed like every time a team went for it at midfield, fourth and one, fourth and two, they would not only pick up the first down, but they'd finish off a drive with a touchdown. And, I mean, It would be fantastic if we got somebody in here running the Texans and running the Texans offense to have the guts and the balls to do so. Because, I mean, you go back to the Texans game, okay, so if you go forward and 4th and 2, down 14 instead of punt like Bill O'Brien did, you pick it up, who knows what happens. If you don't pick it up, guess what? You weren't stopping the Colts anyway. I mean, the mindset between Bill O'Brien and the coaches we saw playing this past weekend is like Bill O'Brien is literally a high school football coach compared to the guys that we watched this weekend and just taking advantage of certain situations and then finishing off drives in which they converted a 4th and 1 or 4th and 2 with touchdowns. And it's just sickening that we have to stick with this dude. I mean, how crappy is that?
Really? I want to expand on that for a second. So I think Bill O'Brien, there are times where he's aggressive and times where he's super conservative. I don't really understand when there's not really a consistency to his demeanor in terms of how he's going to attack. And I don't think you don't have to be the same way all the time, but it does feel like it's disorienting. But more than that, you can throw, I'll throw Bill O'Brien into this as well. Did you guys come away from this weekend and frankly the entire playoffs thinking, man, Houston's further away than maybe I even thought?
Yeah,
I mean, I knew they weren't close, but man, they're not close.
How many
all.
Times do you guys think he went for it on fourth down against the Colts?
Once.
Manny.
He hung up.
Oh, five times.
Huh.
Five times.
Manny.
Manny hung up.
Manny.
He.
That
hung
doesn't.
Up.
That he, doesn't.
By the way, Manny called you Skip Bayless on Twitter.
Who, me?
Just a little while ago. Because since you went to Florida, you're trash, apparently. Because of your Daryl Morey take, actually. I did. I took away from that the Texans are further away. They're not even close to the Chiefs. They're not close to the Saints or the Rams or the. Like, we needed to know this. Like, we needed this weekend to verify that. But, yeah, I mean, when you look at the Colts who dominated them at home and the way that the Chiefs dominated the Colts, you're just like, holy crap. I felt like, wow, this is bad. This is really, really
close. It's not close.
Not even close. And everything that we thought during the year that we tried to push, you and I both, I mean, no, we got to start believing in this team. I don't care that the teams that they're playing don't have any quarterbacks. That doesn't matter. They're playing good football. I know they're barely beating these teams, and it's come down, and all of this stuff. No, wait, they're better than everybody. No, they're not. And it's a shame. They've got a long way to go. But again, they've got to get better players. They've got to get better football players. But this Bill O'Brien thing, too, when you look at the coaches that are still alive and the way that they go about it versus the way that Bill O'Brien goes about it, that's scary, too. It really
is. It's really, man, you couldn't – if you just said give me four of the most aggressive coaches in the NFL, and being aggressive doesn't guarantee that you're going to be good. That's not the case. But in today's NFL – I feel like you almost have to have some of that in you. You look at Sean McVay. Sean McVay, did you guys think it was smart? I know it worked, but did you think it was smart to go for it on fourth and goal when you could have gone up two scores?
Nope.
I didn't think it was smart at all.
No. I was saying, I'm sitting, and it worked, and they scored because they got fat C.J. Anderson, and that's fine.
The bus?
Yeah, but it wasn't. I was like, take the points. Go up 11. Go up two scores. What are you doing? And instead, he was right. And, you know, but it turns out they would have won either way. But, you can't argue with guys who are Sean Payton with the fake punt.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
Sean Payton's always been that way.
Though. Yeah. Bill Belichick is a lot riskier than you would ever think. I mean, he goes for it on fourth down sometimes when he shouldn't.
Tom Brady.
And Andy Reid. I mean, I just love the way that he runs that Andy Reid runs a game. I think Andy Reid they do. They've got a real chance to break that Andy Reid can't win thing.
And Andy Reid can win.
He can win.
Andy Reid has been, you know, Andy Reid behind Belichick to me has been the best head coach. He's an unbelievable. I think there have been some issues with clock management. I mean, there's some things, but in terms of getting his team to a position to do what he did with Alex Smith to resurrect his career was terrific. And he kept Alex Smith doing what he did. Then to go from Alex Smith, the game manager, to Pat Mahomes, the gunslinger.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just ridiculous.
And they can't be, more different in styles of play. And yet he would just went, okay, this is my guy now. Watch what we do. Holy crap. Unbelievable. All right. 829-713-780-3776. Thanks for calling in, Meanie. 713-780-3776. Anybody wants to get in here, come.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 834 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, you're more than welcome. Bring any thoughts. Manny's he won't let facts get in the way. Yeah, going for it on fourth down, 21 to bullet. Ha, 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 ha. Of course you have to go for it five times after down 21 late in the game. Actually, the Texans went for it in their second series.
Stop with your facts, John.
Yeah, and then again in the second quarter.
Enough.
But weren't they down 21 to nothing at the time?
At that time they were, but it wasn't late in the game.
When do you wanted to go for it? You went go for it. Fourth and six.
Scoreless from your own 28. Set the tone.
Now, Manny must forget how quickly the Colts got up in that one.
Yeah. Second series, he went for it, and Deshaun threw the interception. And then they went for it again, which I disagree wholeheartedly with the play call. When D-Hop got hurt throwing that bullet at him, and he dove for it in the end zone. When it was fourth and one, I would have loved to have seen Deshaun run that. But I guess I was wrong then. Bill O'Brien is a fantastic coach, pulling all the right strings and pushing all the right buttons. I guess he just needs elite talent at every single position on the field. I don't know. I'm not you know what? Bill O'Brien did a nice job, really nice job this year. They won. They finished 11-2 to finish up the season.
I don't think you guys really care what I say, just like I don't really care what you say.
But I don't. They're a long way from being an elite team. That's for sure.
Okay, I've got the amount of fourth down conversions. Would you like to guess where they are in the league? The lowest conversion rate. I gotta find the attempts. Maybe I'll find the attempts instead of just conversions. Because conversions, I know this is going to surprise you a little bit, John.
Mm-hmm.
It would be 14th, about right in the middle.
What?
The most fourth down conversions per game. They're 14th in the league. They're about right in the middle of the league. I know it's very surprising to ever hear stats that say, you know, as far as going for it, attempts, 20th. So there's something to what Manny was talking about.
Yeah,
I mean not a ton, but because the difference between 20 when I say they're 20th, they okay, do it one time per game, and then
who goes then for it the most?
Denver, 1.6.
Okay, what was Denver's record?
They were terrible. They had a new coach.
Because Baltimore they have to was go second,
Dallas was third, the Jets were fourth. Yeah, the lowest were the Chargers, Niners, Tennessee, Miami, Tampa, Pittsburgh and New England.
Yeah,
the difference is when you do. Well, look, his point was correct. Some of his facts weren't necessarily great, but his point was accurate. I would say that Bill O'Brien is not on the same level from an aggression standpoint and a wise aggression standpoint and how you go about it. I almost wondered. And I said this on Twitter. I almost felt like Sean McVay was trying to make a bigger statement. It wasn't even about trying to get that. Look, I didn't think it was smart. You're a one touchdown and 2-point conversion away from having that game tied. You kick a field goal, and there's almost no way that Dallas is going to come back and beat you. But it almost felt like, John, he burned that timeout, which I thought, well, that is really stupid to burn a timeout. You're going to fake going for it on fourth down and now kick a field goal. He comes out and goes for it on fourth and goal again from the one. And they smashed their way in. And I almost felt like that was simply him telling his team for the rest of the playoffs, you know, Frank Wright going for it, mm-hmm. saying we're not going to punt and that whole thing. I felt like it was the same thing saying, hey, you know what? This is who we're going to be, so bleep everyone else. It almost felt like a nut check where he just said, I just want to see where y'all's nuts.
Yeah, that said, if he misses, if they don't get it, they could lose that game.
100%. Yeah. I didn't think it was the wise choice.
As opposed to guaranteeing a win. Sometimes, you know, that the bravado doesn't always pay off.
But maybe this time it did, because it didn't not pay off.
It did. No, they made it. They scored and they won by 8 and covered.
Let me ask you, have you ever hit on 17?
No.
Maybe you should hit on 17.
Soft 17, yes. No, you can hit on soft 17. Yeah, can hit on a soft 17.
Of course. Yeah. But my point is, sometimes you have to do some things that go against the numbers and against the grain, because you've got a bigger point to make. And maybe with Sean McVay, because, look, he knew Dak wasn't going to roll right down the field, although he did the next series. He did get down the field, and they got that touchdown. But Sean McVay, Sean Payton had to go for that fake punt. There was no momentum. That was a very wise choice with Taysom Hill. We know what New England will do all the time, and we know Andy Reid will do it too. Andy Reid understood, we're not taking a field goal attempt that's too far out, not with Pat Mahomes. Why would we do that?
Was it smart what Nick Saban did?
No, because you went into – first of all, there were 6 yards to go. They were in safety. They were in kick safety, expecting a potential fake. So, no, I mean, you know, it's smart if you've got the right layout. But 6 yards to go, and you're lead blocking with a kicker and a long snapper. I mean, that was maybe that's got to be the dumbest thing that Nick Saban's ever done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on it. Seriously, what can you think of? Do you think Nick Saban has ever, like, what in his life, not even football-wise, Dell, jump in if you got something. What is the dumbest thing he could have possibly done? Like order sushi in Kansas? I don't know. There's a lot of things dumber than that.
Hmm.
Yeah. I've done some like first marriage was dumber than Saban's thing, but it's not a lot dumber.
Yeah. No, that was, yeah, lead blocker is your holder, or no, your kicker.
Right.
Your snapper is supposed to take care of that.
Seal.
That
he's
nose
a seal
guard.
Block on the nose. Yeah. Look, just get your hips around and just seal them off.
Let's get Oscar in here. He wants to talk about his Texans. What do you say, Oscar?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
What's up?
Hey, no, I wanted to talk a little bit about draft. Maybe I'm a little late to the game. I try to listen to you guys as much as possible, so I don't know if y'all talked about this at all. But my thoughts are, and I don't know if y'all agree, obviously we need offensive line help for pass protection, and I feel like our secondary can use some help. So my question is, would you go big offensive line in the draft or secondary in the draft, and then vice versa, try to account for the other positions in free agency? Like, which way would you go if you were the GM? How would you kind of put the team together from the draft aspect?
Well, typically the better offensive linemen are not going to be available in unless they're declining in free agency. So I would probably look. I mean, just historically, you look offensive line in the draft, and then you might be able to add. I think they're going to look at offensive line and corner. And then they'll look at a free agency corner is how I think it will go down. And it's not, you know, it's also possible that they could let Tyrann Mathieu walk and look for another, look for another safety and let Andre Hall and Justin Reed be those guys. I don't think so. I think they'll re-sign Mathieu. And Andre Hall makes plays on the ball, John. I mean, he's got good ball production, but I don't think it's a stretch to say you might need three new corners.
I would say this. I think it all depends on who's out there. Okay, is there a decent left or right tackle in free agency? One that you can afford. One that you think will fit in and be here for some time. Is there a corner that you covet that you like in free agency? Or by the same token, who's going to be there at 23? Is it a decent corner that you like in the draft, or is it a decent tackle that you like in the draft? I think all of that depends on that. So I don't know that you can sit here and go get a corner in free agency.
You got to see the board. Yeah, we got to see what it looks like.
You got to see the board. I have no idea what the board, who's going to be sitting there at 23. But I don't think there's any question. It's got to be a corner or a tackle.
Has to be.
I mean, you. I don't think you can go another minute without. How about finally addressing with first round talent at the offensive line? You haven't done it since Dwayne Brown, and that's the only one you've ever done. Come on, 843 ESPN 97.5. Listen, guys, I don't know what you did this weekend. I hope that you had some kind of relations. I really do. If you didn't. If you couldn't, well, I got the answer for you. ForHims.com/John5. Okay? ForHims.com/John5. It happens. Even if you doubted a little bit, no sense in that. If you're young and you just want to, go for it, have some more fun. Okay. You can do that too, whatever the case may be. Or if you're having issues, then you go to ForHims.com/John5. You don't have much money. How's $5? You got $5? You can get $5 by standing on the corner and asking, hey, anybody, can you spare some change? You can get $5 in no time. And then you can have relations. Use it on getting and having relations. Of course, you got to have a laptop. Go to ForHims.com/John5. You can borrow one. You go to the library. ForHims. Oh, listen, you got bigger problems if you don't have $5. But here's the deal. If you do have $5, how about that? As opposed to spending the hundreds of dollars you would have to spend if you go to the doctor and then the pharmacy. ForHims.com/John5. ForHims.com/John5. This lethal dog who's Don Corleone.
Trust me, at the top it isn't lonely. ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So, you got that Kawhi? Not yet. We got to play this Kawhi. Kawhi told a joke, kind of, or something. I don't know.
No, he didn't.
Well, it was, I don't know. He got guys.
Knock, knock. Who's there, Kawhi? James Harden jumper.
James Harden 1 for 17.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Bricks. Brick who? Bricks all over this piece.
You got, here's Kawhi. He's doing an interview, and one of his teammates is talking about, I guess, his shoes, though. And he said he's wearing Burberry or Burberry, whatever. And Kawhi goes, no. So he's looking off camera to one of his teammates when he's saying this.
Helps you grow as a player. Helps us get better as a team. You stupid. This ain't Burberry. It's New Balance. But like I said, it just gets us better.
Even his little, it's funny.
Tell, he didn't really have New Balance, did he? That was a joke.
I don't know. We can't see.
We can't see it.
Player, come on.
Helps us get better as a team. You stupid. This ain't Burberry. New Balance. It is. New Balance. But.
Well, that's funny. Anyway, Kawhi's laugh is an all-timer. All-timer. David is here. He wants to talk about his Texans. What do you say, David?
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing today?
What do you say?
When you watch the Patriots and just how they're always prepared and coached, and you see that, you know, everybody talks about how they look a little bad. Then they turn this button on where it's amazing how uber prepared they are. And I look back at the Texans, and it's not just OB. It was Kubiak. To me, the Texans are like that dad that's divorced that you have in awe that he's your dad, and then your birthday never shows up. That's the Texans to me. And so, you know, I don't know that they'll ever get to that where they have that button where they can get into the next year. I'll, you know, hang up and listen to you guys.
The Texans are the dad who just doesn't show up at the birthday.
What?
Hey, what? Dad, are you coming to the playoff game? Nope.
Nope.
No, dad will tell you that he's coming, but he won't exactly. Show up.
Yeah, right.
It's worse, the dad who tells you, and then it's 4:30 and all the kids are leaving and dad's never there.
Is that the he just made the perfect analogy. The Texans in the playoffs are the dad who doesn't show up. He tells you he's going to be there at the playoffs, and then he doesn't show up for all the Texans fans' kids.
Hmm. That's a – that no.
That's really accurate?
Yeah, no.
Hey, Dad, are you going to be – we're going to play the Colts at 3:30. Are you going to be there? I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Yeah.
And then they're just looking around. Colts are already up 7-0. Where's dad?
Is he that dad that drains your bank account too, so he can drink all night?
Well, don't you pay?
Yeah,
don't you pay quite a bit?
Yeah.
You pay quite a bit over the years, right?
Yeah, and I've got what do you got to show for it?
No, he's a dad who steals your identity.
Liver spots.
The Texans are the dad that steals your identity because before they're here, you're like, I just watch the NFL. It's cool. No rooting interest. And then the Texans come along, and all of a sudden, you go from that to, I'm a Texan fan. Yes. Your whole identity has changed. And then they get into your bank account and drain it dry.
Hmm.
Well, the Texans, right now, the Texans, especially in the playoffs, they're the stealing identity, but only because their credit's not good here in the city of Houston with us. So they need to, you know. They got to put the light bill in someone else's name. They got to get a car in someone else's name. I know somebody who actually did that.
That's yes, you do know
their
someone.
Daughter's, then they didn't get to go to their daughter's wedding.
You do know someone, don't you? Yeah. 853.
That's not me. It's not, but I do know someone.
ESPN 97.5. I don't want the Texans to be the deadbeat dad that doesn't show up for the birthday party and drains your bank account.
They're worse than the deadbeat dad. They promise you. The deadbeat dad's like, you know I'm no good, right? They promise you and say that they're good.
No, they say they're good.
And they always disappoint you.
Well, they
keep sucking you in, And, you know, this year everyone's like, you're not getting me this time, Dad. You're not getting me this time, Dad. And then Dad's, like, really good for, like, two straight months. Maybe Dad has changed. No.
No.
Dad hasn't changed at all.
Dad hasn't changed a bit.
Dad was really good for about 10 straight games.
That's right. Dad was good for a couple of months, and then he didn't show up for your birthday.
Hey, guess what? Guess who's going to be here, Frank Reich? My dad's coming, too, and my dad can beat you up.
My dad can
beat your dad up. Your dad's a bum. He's not.
He looks like it with that beard.
Your dad doesn't even live in a house. Your dad doesn't even get outside. He's just got that stupid roof closed the whole time. Shut up. Your dad's got a roof, too. We've got an outdoor facility we go to.
Dad's going
to
show up. You shut up, Frank Reich. You shut up. Don't talk about my dad that way. And then on that Saturday, oh, look whose dad's not here.
and shut up,
Frank Reich. Shut up.
And then Quentin Nelson's picking up your bike and slamming it on the ground. If my dad gets here, he's going to be so mad. He got me that bike.
Yeah.
He got me that bike after he was trying to make up for that two-win season.
And Andrew Luck takes Mom into the room and shuts the door.
And Mom's smiling on the way in. Hey, told you your dad was no good. Ooh, Mom's been telling you dad's no good for years.
I haven't seen you for a couple of years.
You still look good.
Yeah.
Dad got you that new Deshaun Watson bike after his two-win season to get back in your good graces. And then Quentin Nelson Darius Leonard just picked up and slammed that bike on the ground. You're like, that was from my dad. My mom's going in there with Andrew Luck.
The chain's broken on it now.
I know. It's all messed up.
Right. It sucks.
Yeah. Too bad he just gave us the perfect analogy ever.
That's terrible. 855. Why don't you give us the perfect patio, Lance?
Well, that's not my job. It's my job to tell you about them, but they're the ones that do the work, and that's Texas Custom Patios. When I was looking for a patio builder, I decided I wanted to do something cool in my backyard, and I had no idea where to start, and I did what every smart person does. I asked Twitter, and I had some different responses, and I looked at stuff, and I'm like, yeah, that's all right. That's okay, and that's all right. But it wasn't until I ran into Texas Custom Patios, somebody recommended them, and I was like, whoa, that's serious. And they're right here in Houston. They have a location in Dallas as well. And I quickly found out they do what's considered some of the best work in the entire state. And once I got to know Stephen Schell, and he even told me how everything was going to go, he said, you're going to love it. You're going to want to do it. Then you're going to hem and haw and drag your feet, and you're going to come back and say you want to do it. He said, I understand. It's the process. It's what we go through. And he was 100% right. I saw it. I was blown away. Then I was like, oh, I don't know. And then before you know it, I waited a month and I said, yeah, I do want to do this. And it's one of the best moves I've ever made. Number one, dollar for dollar, you're going to get your dollar back. For every dollar you spend, you're going to get it back when you sell your home, because it's an outdoor living area that they can build. Or they can build a sunroom, a screened-in porch. They can build whatever you're looking for. But I can tell you this, at Texas Custom Patios, it's going to take your backyard to another level. You can get sound system included with it, big screen TV, which I have included on my patio. It makes all the difference in the world. They even do drainage out in your yards, things like that they can do for you. Make sure that you go to tcplance.com and see what they did for my home, before and after pictures, and then you can look at all the before and after pictures at texascustompatios.com.
ESPN 97.5.